The Scope is filmed before a live studio audience.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show with nearly every kernel popped. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope...
The Scope Awards are given to TV's best. We find out if X-Men 3 is third rate, and Jared is kicked out of the spelling bee after testing positive for steroids.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Welcome, one and all, to our fifth installment of the Scope podcast. You know, it takes a village to build a podcast, and today we have quite the village in the house, so let's talk to the original. And
it smells, by the way.
The sparkly cast members. First of all, it's Adam, as usual. Adam,
hey.
Reading a magazine, really putting his all into this.
He's committed. What can you say?
And we've got the moral heart of the show, Jared.
Bottoms up.
Bottoms up. He's drinking a beer, everybody, on a Sunday.
A fine beer. It's a Pyramid Apricot Weizen.
Are you finding it's taking alcohol to get you through the day?
No, it was there. It was cold, and I had a bit of a headache, so I thought alcohol might help.
Well, a little bit of alcohol will definitely take care of that. I'm Shane. I'm the guy that does a lot of the talking in the beginning and in the middle and in the end. And sitting on our guest couch for the first time, we've got two people in today, a couple of regulars, actually. First of all, let's throw it over to Al.
Hello, kids.
Thank you, Al, for showing up. As you recall, we put Al through the nerd degree a few weeks back, or actually probably closer to a couple months ago.
That was show number two.
Number two. And he passed with, I wouldn't say flying colors, but he did pass.
He had his own niche of geekiness.
Yes. So he'll be sitting, and he's our resident Phi-Ed teacher, and he will beat up anyone that gives us any trouble.
That's it.
Sitting next to him is Earl.
Thank you.
You may remember Earl from a couple shows ago. He mixed it up a little bit with Star Wars, and we wanted to have him back for a little X-Men and just general conversation. Thank you, Earl.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me back, Chief.
Delighted. You guys look comfortable on the couch?
Anything? Yes, come join us.
Well, you know, maybe a little bit later.
Hey, now.
We'll take care of that. So, I was going over our email.
Ooh.
As, you know, we're starting to get more email. We're starting to get more email for the show.
Yeah, I think we've doubled our capacity
yes.
now. We're up to two.
Two emails. Yes, we've got three emails, and from some people that we don't actually know. But one of the emails was, I didn't bring it in, so that shows my professionalism.
I can read it. I have it.
Okay, Jared has it.
Because as always, I'm prepared.
Yes, we've talked about this beforehand. It's nothing on this show goes without preparation.
Would you like the whole thing, or would you like just part of it?
Just sum it up for me. What am I going to bring up?
Well, this person, Sean writes in, and he's enjoying the show. He thinks it's well humorous and well put together. But having said that, he has one minor issue.
Yes.
I have no idea what you guys look like. Could you give an example of what Hollywood celebrities you most resemble? Just so your listeners can envision you while hearing those dreamy voices.
Wow.
That's a beta.
He goes on to say that he looks like Buddy Hackett.
He looks
I like Buddy Hackett. He was great on The Fall Guy.
The Fall Guy.
He was a guest. He didn't star.
No idea what that's about.
Poor Adam. A little too young for his own good. So, Sean wants to know who we look like. I guess I can start this out because I hear it more than anyone, I think.
Here comes a lie.
Here comes a lie. I tend to look a lot like Edward Norton.
Wow.
No, actually, I don't. I've heard for years, especially
would
with...
Would that be the white supremacist?
The white,
Norton from American History X.
The American History X, the minority-hating... whatever.
Not afraid to put a man's face on the curb and stomp down, are you?
Absolutely. That's my whole story. No, I get Ben Stiller a lot.
I would say when you were younger,
yeah.
You really look like Ben Stiller, but now you've become your own man.
Thank you.
You don't have to live in his shadow anymore.
Well, wow. I used to keep my hair a little bit more Jufro-y, and before glasses, I think that I would get that a lot. With glasses, I just look like a douche. But
a douche with glasses.
I agree. Yeah.
Thank you.
Would
Adam.
That be a disposable douche?
Let's...
Yeah.
Where is it?
Yeah, so anybody else here getting to that, Adam? Anybody famous that you've been told you look like?
When I was a kid, it was Opie.
Ooh. Opie? Ron Howard.
I once got one of the Gallagher brothers.
Not hot.
Wow.
I think that's just because I don't cut
Liam
my hair.
Liam or Noel?
I don't know. They look the same,
probably,
don't they?
Noel. Yeah. Probably Noel, yeah. We have a resident Oasis expert in the house. Al?
Definitely Noel.
Okay. Definitely Noel.
Oh, well, good. There we go.
Maybe.
What definitely. About you? Oh, so Jared, who do you look like?
Not so much lately. When I was younger, I got Anthony Michael Hall.
Really?
That was the comparison.
I was going to sneak in and say Hugh Grant.
Well, yeah, that's right. There was the Hugh Grant thing, too, but that was, I had a little longer hair.
Yeah, Jared had the long, sort of,
and when he got
part
frustrated
of the center.
And he'd do the perfect Hugh Grant. I'm so wonderful.
That's only like 10 years removed, but thanks
for
bringing it up.
Yeah, no problem.
A little bit of history, folks.
Now, my wife believes that Jared looks a lot like Christian Finnegan from Best Week Ever. He's one of the guys that does the crazy commentary. Adam,
I know who Christopher Finnegan is.
I don't think so.
I guess I can see where she's making that jump from, but I don't think so.
Wow. Looks over. Not in this light, at least.
So you're making even better friends with her.
It is pitch black in here, so maybe I can't tell because of that.
Exactly.
Al or Earl, since you are in the house and sitting there quietly and patiently for your turn to talk, any famous people resemblance?
Well, I could see how. Jared doesn't look like that gentleman that Carrie thinks he does, because Carrie once said I look like that blonde guy from Gilmore Girls, the boyfriend.
What?
Wow. You're not even blonde.
So that is a stretch, yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't take any credence into what Carrie says you look like.
Jeez. I'm going to be paying for this later, you guys.
My pick?
She actually listens.
My pick? For Al, Ian Ziering.
Wow.
Interesting. When I had my hair short, I had a couple of people say I was like Bruce Willis, and that was when I had it really short. I'm not kidding.
Do you front a blues band?
Bruce Willis.
Yeah, I front. I didn't. I used to front
the Return of Bruno.
This was like the Die Hard era, not now.
Respect yourself.
So you tend to run around with no socks and shoes and step on crushed glass.
I try to.
And you lusted after Sybil Shepherd.
I did. No, I didn't lust after her. I lusted after his movie wife Bonnie Bedelia in the Die Hard series.
Wow,
in the Die Hard series.
But there was one night I had the hair real short. I had to run through the rain through a college campus to go get Jared over here a drink along with his other pals filming movies in bathrooms.
It's like a fairy tale, running through the rain.
Really? And I was running through the
dramatic
rain.
Music.
I believe there's a Peter Gabriel song playing in the background.
And a bunch of guys go, look at Bruce Willis! And I'm like, hey! Other than that, when I was a kid, I had the ability to smile like Alfred E. Newman. And that's all I got.
That's
Thank
it.
You.
So,
Thank you.
So, Sean, there you go. Really nothing gained, nothing lost in that segment.
Now you can dream about us.
Yeah, at some point we'll probably post pictures that aren't too hideous and disgusting at the website. Depends if we can actually get Adam to do that. But
right.
And we have to take pictures and
Photoshop them.
And Photoshop them so we look sexy.
We could just get pictures of the people we just said we look like.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And just put them right on.
Yeah, exactly.
A great, what are those called? Where they're all together.
Sniglet?
I have no... kind
a
of
bomb
an offensive pop? Term right there.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Fakes.
Oof.
That calls for some crickets.
Yeah.
So far, the show, it takes a village to build this, and we're building a very shoddy structure so far. Earl, I think you'll be interested in our news segment number two here.
Okay.
This week, big announcement on DVD, Transformers, the movie.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. Special edition.
20th anniversary edition.
Wow. The problem is, it's 2006, the movie's already outdated.
What does that mean?
In other words, the movie takes place in 2005, not...
But there are giant robots running around.
By that rationale, you must hate Escape from New York.
No, I know. I love Escape from New York.
So what's special?
So pretty much...
what is special?
The main thing on this is that it's the ramp-up for the live-action movie that's coming. So this will be... Adam doing obscene gestures, but this is kind of the beginning of, I'm sure, Transformers hype. And for fans of it, it might be the beginning of the end. For people that don't know much about it, it might be something that could get fan interest going. But, you know, oftentimes when you get these big budget movies that stray from the original source material, which is ironic because the Transformers is cobbled together from all sorts of different Japanese toy lines and things like that. So there really isn't any true source material. But when you stray away from that, you get the problem of not being true to what the fans want it to be. And it ends up being kind of crazy. Kind of sad. Earl, your opinion?
Well, I think the one thing everybody wants is they know it's going to be different just because right now there's so many variations of Transformers. But I think everybody wants the two main voice actors of Megatron and Prime to come back. That's what I've heard the most of.
Will you see this movie without those actors playing the voice?
Well, I don't know if they've been cast or not. They're still debating that. I doubt they will.
What are your inside people in DreamWorks saying?
Well, I was talking to Spielberg the other day. And he said he doesn't know what's going on. He just put his name on it.
He actually is quoted on that.
Yes, Michael Bay. Michael Bay is gonna. I don't know.
Spielberg usually isn't so glib when he says things.
My honest opinion right now, I'm not feeling good about this film, but I got to see more of it before I can really judge it. You know, you just right now it doesn't sound good because you got Michael Bay on it, and he's all like, "I got, you know, Bernie Mac playing a car dealer."
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and it's just like.
Did you have you seen the pictures that Ain't It Cool had on? Of the cars transformed?
No, I didn't see that.
You mean like the actual cars themselves?
Yeah.
Yeah,
this wasn't one, some old Japanese commercial that we have.
No, this is actual. Like somebody snuck into a area where they're holding the actual cars that they're going to be driving around.
And I have a big problem because one of the Decepticons is a car,
yep.
Which I don't ever remember.
And I believe his name is Prowl, too, which is the name of a...
Autobot. Mm-hmm. Megatron's not a gun. That's the big problem right there.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what they decided he would end up being. I think he's going to be a tank, which he actually was in one point in time.
He has been tanks.
Cobra Commander built him as a tank.
There we go.
Wow.
Yeah.
But, you know, when they said,
and then they had a toy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but...
My memories of kissing girls are fading right through this conversation.
Yeah.
Al?
Any opinion on
Deadly.
Transformers?
Yes.
Well, we'll have to wait and see.
Or Al, even.
He shakes his head.
My middle name is Al. I'm sorry. Oh. I got confused.
I watched Transformers when I was a kid.
Yeah, does this conversation want make you want to punch someone in the face?
No, okay. Not yet.
I like that we got a fact from Al.
Woo.
one final note, Earl, on the Transformers movie.
Yes.
Bumblebee will not be a Volkswagen.
What's he going to be?
I think it's like a Camaro or something
Something. The way that it was.
Why did they
was,
make him a new Volkswagen?
I don't know.
Well,
because it's kind
that
of
commercial opportunity.
It's kind
passed.
Of gay.
Rather than make them a Mini Cooper.
They don't all need to be sports cars.
Well, Chevy probably signed some.
Yeah.
Well, like I think I'm amazed that they're all like, oh, we love Transformers. Now we're going to just ruin it.
I think that the movie will be impressive and kind of sad at the same time.
I think it's going to look great, but you'll be like, oh, why didn't they just call it GoBots?
It'll be kind of like this show.
Because there's no leader one. Yeah, exactly.
Or Psykill.
I like Psykill.
Very nice.
Oh, yeah.
So moving on, a little bit later, we're going to be reviewing the third X-Men movie, X-Men: The Last Stand. But in honor of that, we found a quiz online, found at MSNBC, I believe, and it is an X-Men quiz. So we thought we'd quickly kind of buzz through that and see where our knowledge levels are at.
Nerds.
And, Adam, I think you'll do just fine. So, Jared, without further ado, would you... start the quiz.
Yes, here we go. It's a multiple choice question. Everyone can chime in.
Make it snappy.
Question number one. The membership of the X-Men is a little different in the movies than in the comics. Name the founding members of the X-Men as seen in the first issue of the X-Men in 1963.
Let's ask Al first every time.
A. Nightcrawler, Wolverine, Storm, Rogue, Dazzler, Colossus. B. Beast, Iceman, Angel, Marvel Girl, Professor X, and Cyclops. C. Wolverine, Iceman, Professor X, Cyclops, Beast, Angel, and Marvel Girl. And D. Wolverine, Iceman, Professor X, Cyclops, Storm, Rogue, and Marvel Girl.
I'm going to go with C.
B.
I believe Earl is right. B is the correct answer. B. Wolverine was not part of the original team.
Yeah, Wolverine didn't kick until the 70s.
All right. There you go.
Question number two. In addition to his mutant powers, which include abnormal strength, incredibly quick reflexes, and near instantaneous healing, Wolverine's skeleton has been artificially enhanced with a metal called adamantium, including three razor-sharp retractable claws on each hand. What property does adamantium have that makes it an especially potent item in Wolverine's arsenal? A. It's virtually indestructible. B. It can be stretched into virtually any shape. C. It can safely conduct extreme high-voltage electricity. And D. It is a natural antenna picking up AM, FM, cable TV, even the premium channels, and high-speed wireless internet.
Al?
C.
What was that?
A.
C was the electricity one.
C is, yes, conduct
or
electricity.
Heat. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's A.
Any opinion? We're going with A.
I think
I'm
it's
going A.
A.
It's I'm A. going with A.
But
Al, are you getting this wrong on purpose?
I was taught to guess C whenever you don't know the answer.
Okay, fair enough.
Perfect. Number three, we've got a little
log. College try. Give
in X-Men 3, this is question 3, Kelsey Grammer joins the cast in the role of Beast. This is the first time he's been on screen with Patrick Stewart. And he had a brief cameo in the end of Star Trek The Next Generation, episode Cause and Effect. What role did he play, Kelsey Grammer, on Star
Jeez.
Trek?
Jeez.
A, this isn't really an X-Men quiz, it's more about the movie, I guess. A, Harcourt Fenton Mudd, galactic ne'er-do-well. B, Dr. Fraser Crane, radio talk show host and neurotic.
Wow, right in
C,
Star Trek.
C, Captain Morgan Batesman of the U.S. Bozeman. And D,
Captain
Bator
Morgan.
Duras, pretender to the Klingon throne. I can't read. Any guesses?
I have no idea.
Is C a reference to that Down Periscope movie, possibly?
U.S.'s Bozeman? I don't know.
I'll say... D?
I hope so. That was a good call.
Very
D?
Nice.
You say D?
I say D.
We're going with D.
Betor Duras. Number 4 in issue 3 of the X-Men comic book.
I guess
he
got it.
Is that it? What was the answer?
I don't know. We got to answer the questions and we'll see what our score is.
Oh, okay.
Here we go. In issue 3 of the X-Men comic, what alerts Iceman to supervillains of the Blob's attack on the group's headquarters?
Jeez.
Does that make any sense? A, he is narrowly missed by a grenade thrown by the Blob. B, he picks up a bad vibe due to his mutant ability to sense danger. C, a giraffe begins eating his ice cream sundae. And D, he buys a copy of X-Men number 2 and sees a note in the end, blah, blah, blah. That's not the right one. Anyway.
A.
Earl says A. I guess this is a quiz for Earl because he probably knows.
Yeah.
I'll take the giraffe and C.
I kind of like the giraffe. There's something about that one that rings true.
I like the giraffe.
Moving on. Question 5. One of the key scenes of X-Men 3 is a battle with Magneto's Brotherhood of Evil Mutants on San Francisco's Golden Gate Bridge. In which earlier science fiction movie was the same bridge attacked by a giant killer octopus? A, Octopussy. B, Beaches. C, 20 million miles to Earth. And D, it came from beneath the sea.
Earl?
D.
Can
D.
we just go with Beaches anyway? Because it's fun.
Bette Midler could probably take
wrong
that
with
thing,
D. This is a quiz for Earl. It's transformed.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
Question 6. Show.
X-Men 3 introduces quite a few new characters from the comics to the world of movies. On one of the big guys, it's more than one, is Juggernaut, played by Vinnie Jones. Jones might be familiar to moviegoers for his role as gangster Big Chris in Guy Ritchie's Lock, Shock, and Two Smoking Barrels. But before he was an actor, Jones was famous as an athlete in professional sport. Which sport was he in? A, tennis. B, boxing. C, synchronized swimming. And D, soccer.
Soccer, but he would say football.
All right, perfect. I'm discovering this quiz is not actually about the X-Men. It's about anything but. So we're going to see what we got on the first 6 questions.
Here we go. We're done. Wrap it up.
This is what happens when you try not to look ahead so you can actually do something on this quiz.
In the X-Men, there was a person. Speaking of people.
Question 1. who was in the first lineup? We got correct. Question 2, which was, I don't know, Adamantium, which was correct. It was indestructible.
Indestructible. Al got it wrong.
And let's see. We were wrong with Kelsey Grammer's role. We were wrong with how Iceman was able to determine the Blob was attacking.
How did Iceman figure the Blob was attacking?
Was it a giraffe?
Corrected C. He was working as a circus performer when the X-Men were first encountered. And after spurned blah, blah. This is really long answers. Not good for radio.
Well, we got it right.
The giraffe ate the snow cone.
I would have got it right.
Sweet.
And then everything else was correct. Moving on.
Thank you.
Bless you, Jack Kirby.
What a lame quiz. Okay. I apologize for that, people. I thought it would be good.
Do you have a boo sound effect? Because I think we deserve it.
Where it is. There it is.
Terrible.
They advertise it as test your X-Men knowledge, and it's completely wrong.
False. Okay, I wanted to find a news bit that would bring Al into this conversation a little bit more today. So I noticed that CNN.com had a story on the top albums of all time.
Ooh.
According to, let's see here.
Just the British public, wasn't it?
Yeah, they voted or something.
The British hits and singles and albums.
Why do you laugh at the British public, Earl?
Because it just seems so weird that, it's the British public. Who cares?
Well, they've definitely have different opinions than we do.
I think the British
public. That's what I mean.
Cares.
It's just like, wow. It just struck me as funny. I don't know why, it just did.
So, anyway, yes, it was determined by the British Hit Singles and Albums, an annual publication released in the UK.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I've got the top ten albums of all time here.
Roll it.
Anyone want to make any guesses, first of all, of what would be maybe number one? If you know it.
I won't guess. I know.
Okay.
Spice World.
Do you know this, Adam?
Yeah, I read it, too, and agree with it.
I'll take a guess of Peter Wingard wins When Sex Lives Its Inquisitive Head.
I don't know what that means.
That record got banned, so I don't know.
It's Simply Irresistible, isn't it?
Okay, it is all Robert Palmer, 7 through 1. Okay, since half the people here know the story, I was hoping that you guys would be completely out of the loop.
I don't have the list memorized. So.
I'll just start at number 10. Number 10, The Bends by Radiohead.
That's good.
Great album.
I don't know about top 10, but good.
Number 9, The Queen Is Dead by The Smiths.
Now, was it
not
all,
familiar with?
Was
it
all British bands?
No, it was not. Okay. It's
but
all,
it seems to favor
all
them.
Yeah, almost all. I can say that. Number 8, Dark Side of the Moon, Pink Floyd.
Again, not
Adam rolling his eyes so far that his eyes fell
I'm one of those
head.
People who has not actually ever, I don't think I've ever listened to that album in its entirety.
Not missing anything.
I feel like bench pressing down here in the basement.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay, here's one that.
Wow. I'm not sure what that means, but.
It means that's what you do when you listen to Dark Side of the Moon.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
I thought you smoked pot.
What?
Number 7, this band has boggled my mind since I've heard of them and I don't understand it. It's the debut by the Stone Roses, entitled The Stone Roses.
Never understood.
Surprising.
I hate them.
I like them.
Well, we don't like you. Number 6, Nevermind by Nirvana, our lone U.S. entry.
It's a seminal effort, but I don't think it's top 10.
No.
Number five, what's the story, Morning Glory, Oasis?
Beautiful. Going back to Nevermind, I don't even think that's the best Nirvana album.
Best Nirvana album?
I don't think it's
the best. Which do you think is the best album?
I don't know. I'm just saying. It would take me, that would take me like actually time to think about it. I'm just saying.
That's not it. Number four, the second appearance by Radiohead, it's OK Computer.
Definitely. Well, that could be a top ten, definitely.
Not my fave.
Interesting.
Really? Radiohead,
I like the
Benz twice.
I like the Benz, like Benz much more.
Huge, yeah. The Benz, I think, is a much better album myself. But
Than OK Computer?
Yeah. I like the Benz better.
Wow.
Yeah,
what, did they, what was that last
it's more
one?
Listenable.
I would not agree with
was
that.
Was it OK Computer or Kid A?
OK Computer.
Oh, no. I'd say they're comparable. I like them both.
I tend to listen to songs on the Benz more.
Kid A does not even deserve to be on the top ten.
No, that's why I was.
Heavens no.
Number three, Revolver by the Beatles.
Well, that was an obligatory one.
Right. Well, we'll get to that, Earl.
This is why I agree with the list.
Okay, number two, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band by the Beatles. So two Beatles in a row. So, Earl, that leaves number one. Any guess? I mean, you've heard the...
The Nick Adams Christmas record or Gwar, wow. Scum Dogs of the
You're
universe.
Always about self-promotion.
If I was a guessing man, it would have been Revolver or Rubber Soul would have been what I thought number one was going to be.
I'll say.
Oh, sorry, Earl. Go ahead.
No, something by the Rolling Stones where you had that cool record cover where you could switch the wigs and stuff.
I don't know. Don't know what that is.
Sorry, I like records.
Okay, it's fun. Okay, Jared, your guess.
I know what it is, so it's.
Oh, okay, forget. So we all know what it is. Oh my God!
I don't.
Okay, Earl. It is Definitely Maybe by Oasis.
Utterly amazing.
Now.
While,
I haven't heard the record. But
I don't necessarily... I think that's the best Oasis album, and I like Oasis.
Yeah.
But the fact that the Beatles are not number one is what I agree
so
with.
So you're anti-Beatles.
Yes.
They stand for nothing good. They've offered nothing to us.
Right.
I see his point of view, because the Beatles are just like, whenever you make a musical, Beatles, number one.
Well, no, Earl's not wrong, and I love the Beatles, and I think a lot of their work is fantastic, but it's been, you know, how many 30 years since they've had... A record? I mean, people have been able to, I think, improve on the formula.
I'm guessing that the, I think it said the poll was only like 100 people or something like that.
I think it was 10.
No, and
no,
I'm
looking.
Oasis fan club?
No, it was like 100 critics. I can't remember, but I'm just guessing the people who voted on this are probably all in our age range. So yeah. Probably maybe favor.
Let me follow that up.
Hold on. It was just five guys in a basement doing a podcast.
Really?
That's shocking.
Anyone could vote for as many as 10 albums in rank order, and probably 95% of the 40,000 votes came from Britain. So probably UK altogether, but there. I'll just give you a little bit more. The biggest surprise, according to the editor of this magazine, was the Libertines' debut album, Up the Bracket, at number 15.
Another band I'm unfamiliar with.
A strong showing he attributes to singer Pete Doherty's well-publicized involvement with supermodel Kate Moss and his alleged arrest for being a prick and... drug abuse. He's a douchebag.
He shoots his blood at people. Have you seen this?
I have not.
Sweet. He had a syringe of his own blood and he shot it at an MTV camera.
He is a class act, isn't he?
Prick.
I don't think it's a 15 number 15 album, but I think it's rock solid.
You think it's that good?
That's
huh?
one of my favorite, and it was probably it was produced by Mick Jones of the Clash, so you get all those Clash heads there who you know probably like the album as well.
What year did that album come out now?
2002.
Okay, so it's had some time to gestate with the public. Other albums on the list include Joshua Tree at number 11.
That's a good one.
Wacko Jacko's Thriller at number 35. And Rolling Stones' Exile on Main Street, number 42. White Stripes are there at 59. Born to Run, 84. And the Eagles' Hotel California just made the list at number 100.
Wasn't there any Queen on that record? I'm sure probably Queen.
There's probably some Stones in there, too. That's...
Yep. A little bit further down the list.
Not surprising.
So there you go, guys.
Awesome.
I'm also happy that the Eagles then were at the very bottom of the list.
What? Yeah. I will go with that, too. I will go with
don't
that.
Like
Eagles
them
are just overrated.
No, they're not.
Let's go over overrated bands.
The Eagles are fantastic.
The Eagles, Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd. Don't like any of them.
You don't like any of them.
No.
Doors.
You can't deny their influence on music.
Yeah.
No, I'm not denying it.
Where would you put Wilson Phillips on that list?
Number two.
It's 69. One Wilson Phillips song, all right? I like one Wilson Phillips song.
The key question is, enough's enough. Really, are they not the best?
Fly High, Michelle? Yeah. Okay.
Sugar Ray?
Sugar Ray, definitely.
What about The Who? The Kids Are All Right.
I'm sure they're in there as well.
Man.
Sorry, Earl. I don't have the whole list.
Oh, yeah.
Bring it yourself.
I like the number one.
Okay, finally, let's get to a kickball update. Adam, anything in the past 2 weeks?
I lied last show. Remember I said we had 1 week off?
Yeah.
But then Memorial Day was last week, and we didn't play that day either. So, no, we have not played.
No kickball.
We have a big game tomorrow. where we hope to bring our record back up to 500.
Very nice.
Excellent.
Are legs atrophying because of...
not mine. I've stayed very active. Everyone else on the team, possibly. So to counter that, we'll probably go drinking before and after.
Very nice. And Al, any,
make up for lost time.
Any athletic tips to give to Adam since you are the Phi Ed teacher?
That's right.
kick with your insole for accuracy and toe for strength.
And didn't you mention wear a cup? Or at least just the support. Cups are optional.
Depends on how much you like getting kicked in the gym.
I will say that we're having a lot of trouble keeping the ball from just being pop flies about 90% of the time. You'd say insole to help with that?
Just bunt.
Just bunt?
Just you know bunt and run fast.
That's the thing. Like, other teams do that to us, and I keep telling everyone it's cheap, and I don't want to win cheaply. I'd rather lose like men, even though there's girls on our team.
I would be one of those people you don't like playing against.
Okay. So. Maybe we might have to go down
our
to that level.
Our competitive spirits are a little different.
Would you allow Al to coach you guys? Just sit in as a coach for one?
No. I need absolute power.
Absolute power
wow.
for
my team. Yeah.
Well, I guess you don't want to win.
Oh, how come sportsman's not a good thing anymore? How come we got to play cheap now?
You got to win.
Earl bringing the moral dilemma into the mix.
That's why I hate sports, because everybody plays cheap. It was like watching the Chicago Bulls. All they did was foul people. I was like, geez. They're losing. Watch out. Here come a string of fouls. Oh,
you don't understand the game then, apparently. Yeah, sometimes fouling is a tactic.
That's what they do.
That's because they can't freaking win on their own.
Thank you, Earl. Thank you, Al. Thank you, rest of the Scope cast members.
I cheered on.
Very nice. So let's,
excellent.
Let's kick this thing into hyperdrive. We've got a great show coming up.
We haven't even started yet?
No, we haven't even started.
This has all been none of this has been
that's
recorded.
No, this has just been practiced.
Yep. We've got, as Jared teased in the intro, we've got our 2005-2006 TV season in review.
Mm-hmm.
We've also got a fantastic, fantastic review on X-Men The Last Stand. People are talking about this movie. I mean, it's and buzz, we'll, buzz, buzz.
And we'll be a few more people talking about it.
Absolutely. We're going to add to that noise.
We get to talk more about X-Men?
Yeah. Al's taking off his headphones and sneaking out. And he punched Earl in the stomach.
Why?
Anyway, thanks for listening, guys. We'll be back in just a short time. I don't remember what's next.
How does President Bush feel about the legions of Scope fanatics that take the show a bit too seriously? Let's eavesdrop on a recent speech and find out.
We cannot build a unified country by inciting people to anger or playing on anyone's fears. We must always remember that real lives will be affected by our debates and decisions, and that every human being has dignity and value. And you know that America is a more hopeful country because of their hard work and sacrifice.
Thanks for watching our backs, Mr. President. We think. Anyway, back to the Scope.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Scope. Very exciting time. As you know, the fall television season just wrapped up. And in honor of that, we here at The Scope.
What are you looking at me for?
I wonder what's going on here. It's tense.
It's very tense. In honor of that, we're going to present the first annual 2005-2006 television wrap-up. Hit it, Jared. Welcome to the first annual Scope Television Wrap-Up Awards. We're going to take an entertaining and comprehensive look, thank you, at the best and worst.
I was wondering what that was.
Of the 2005-2006 TV schedule. But before we get going, let me introduce our panel of judges. First of all, we've got the angry one of the group, Adam, thank you.
I'm not angry. I don't know where you get that from. Thank you.
Wow, it's very swelling. If you can hear me over the music.
What?
You were supposed to go a little longer. We talked about this.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
It's a podcast. Jared, judge number two, any opinions on the television season as it was?
I think it was a very strong season. There were a number of shows that I enjoyed, and I look forward to talking about them.
How come I got introduced as the angry one, and then you asked him a question?
Because I'm teaching you a lesson, and I always want you to be angry.
I'm calling shenanigans on this one.
And myself, third. I am the third judge in this fantastic. Wow.
There we go.
And the two bastards on the couch would be Earl and Al. While their votes do not count, we encourage them to participate.
Yeah, we've been disenfranchised.
Thank you.
Okay,
so I suppose all of you listeners out there are wondering what the categories are, how we keep score. I'll be happy to fill you in. The wrap-up has 10 categories, from best comedy to biggest disappointment. For 9 of these categories, Jared, Adam, and myself will each have an individual pick. We'll go over what we think about it. We'll move along pretty quickly. But the last category, the number 10, if you will, that will be the scope show of the year. Using a complex mathematical formula, our votes have been combined, and the results are in these envelopes, everyone. You can't see me holding them up, but I've got them.
I verify he has these envelopes.
Yep. But to make it exciting, we also will let everyone know what our second and third place shows are. I think that we've talked enough. Let's move on to our first category. That would be best comedy.
Ooh.
Very exciting. Jared, start us off. Your pick for best comedy.
Best comedy. There were a couple on the list, but I went with Arrested Development.
Arrested Development.
I thought the writing on the show was top-notch this year. Some of the jokes at the beginning of the season were, you know, they went over a lot of people's heads, but I caught them and I felt smarter watching the show.
Very nice. Adam, your pick?
I picked The Office. The Office, for me, was one of those very few shows where I was sad when I'd get to the end of the episode. You know,
perfect for best comedy?
On my TiVo, yep.
Yep. My pick, The Office. I'm with Adam. I loved it. Thought it was great. I felt that Arrested Development was a great show. Little uneven towards the end for me, but still, what are you going to do? Office.
You're going to pick it.
Office, I think, vastly improved from last season, and it only gets better.
Yes. Every episode, from including the premiere last season to the end of this year, every episode got better. Every
Earl,
single one of them.
Sorry, there are no cartoons in this group. What are you going to do? You don't watch these shows, correct?
No, but I'd put my best comedy still after all these years for Police Squad.
For Police Squad. There. And Al, I know you watch both of these shows. Your opinion?
My favorite show this year is The Office. After two seasons, I thought Arrested Development's first two seasons were stronger than The Office. But like Shane said, this year was a little uneven. And I enjoyed The Office.
And,
I
will be making out later for that.
Yeah,
I'm the only
American
one who's seen
Office
the light, apparently.
There you go.
Perfect.
Category number two. Best drama. Jared.
Why am I always first?
Were you? Oh, yeah. Adam.
All right. This is one of those categories where I think some people might consider a drama not a drama.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I went with Veronica Mars. Probably... other people maybe will pick Lost if they're, I don't know, that maybe that would go in the next category. But just for me, the most compelling show. It has elements of probably, you know, both comedy, drama, and action somewhat. But best, and the best, definitely by far the best parent-child relationship on TV.
Fantastic. I'll follow him up with my selection. Lost is my pick for best drama. It is. Not sure what that response was. I don't know what that is.
It's a bug.
Crush it. As Adam said, we kind of have some issues with some of our categories coming up. We're not quite sure where things are going to fall, but I felt Lost had a fantastic use of drama. How about that? Doesn't make any sense, but I really like the character development. I like the story arcs, and for my money, even if you take out all the action, all the sci-fi type stuff out of it, whatever it is, I still think that it is the most bang for your buck. Jared, your pick. Best drama.
I went for The West Wing.
West Wing.
Yes, an odd choice. A show that I loved for the first four seasons, and then started to trail off a little bit, but this year I thought it was very strong. I enjoyed the plot line of the presidential election, and got a little choked up at the end when it ended.
Sad that it ended?
Yeah, I was.
Are you happy that...
It was a good ending, though. It was probably time to go.
Are you happy that the liberal bias really shone through at the end and put those lousy conservatives to rest?
Couldn't be happier.
Very good. Earl, your opinion?
What the best show is, or
anything?
That bug.
Just hit us with something
Life.
Good.
Drama wise, I'll go with The British People, the one show that won the big drama awards at the BAFA or whatever they call it in Britain land. The new series is Christopher Eccleston, the new Doctor Who series.
There you go. British People, Earl, on the same page. Al, go.
I watched two dramas, so I'm going to pick my favorite one. Everwood.
Everwood.
What a great
Is that coming back
show.
This year?
It is no, not. Canceled is not. In favor of yep. Seventh Heaven. Yes. Heaven.
Are you sad?
Canceled in favor of One Tree Hill.
What? Yeah, I'm upset, I guess. I watched a whole two dramas, so now I'm...
There you go.
What's the other one?
What will you do with your extra hour per week?
Well, the other one I half-heartedly watch, and that would be The Gilmore Girls.
There we go.
Well, that will be back. And Veronica Mars will be on after that. So
watch them together.
Just watching them
Fun
together.
Fun fact for you on Veronica Mars. Fun she fact. Got her start in a movie called Pootie Tang.
Yes, she did.
Very true. Let's move on to category number three. Best action/adventure show. I'll start this out. I selected Lost. Go figure.
Wow, a winner in two categories.
Yes. As you can see where my votes are going. I loved what it did with the action. I loved what it did with the slash adventure. And I'm looking forward to it next year. Jared, your pick.
Also picked Lost.
Ooh.
Action, lots of slash adventure since it is a jungle. And I just, you know, the last 2 months of the show, I've just been riveted. And that's it. You know, it's a good show. I can't wait for it to come back.
Fantastic. Adam?
Because I don't like mixing categories, I went with the only show I watched that is a definite action adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Although saying it's the best kind of maybe puts it where it shouldn't be, but I went with Prison Break.
Ooh,
interesting.
Yeah.
I just finished watching that, Adam,
yes.
And I thought it was fantastic how they really settled up for next year when I wondered how are they going to deal with this show, but they did. I mean, they made the Prison Break and things are exciting.
My problem is that every episode pretty much ended with a very good cliffhanger where you're like, I need to see what happens next
exactly.
episode. But the finale just, I'm going to spoil it. It's been like a month.
Yep, spoiler warning for the rest of the show.
they're in the middle of a field. I mean,
yeah.
And his plan made no sense. The plan didn't wind up having to do anything, you know, with them escaping. I mean, right, there were elements, but it all fell apart. They could have just run away if they, anyway.
The quick little story. Every week that Prison Break was on that I didn't watch it. We had it on their TiVo, so we had like 10 episodes or something like that. Adam would come up to me and say, Shane, you've got to watch this show. It gets more and more ridiculous every week, but you still have to watch this show. It's that good. And Adam was right, and he usually is not. Earl, your opinion.
If I watched a lot of TV, I just got a gut feeling I'd have probably said 24.
Oh, yes.
But I'll still stick with the $6 million man.
I don't think 24 was as strong this year as it's been in the past.
Earl, your shows are 25 years old.
I know.
They hold up over time.
They do.
If they don't need no stinking cell phones in those shows.
If 24 starred Lee Majors, would you watch it?
I'd be more inclined for a if he was the president, then I'd definitely watch it.
Al, quickly.
I was going to go on Earl's side, and I was going to take reruns of
so
Magnum
what's happening?
P.I.
Magnum P.I.
and MacGyver.
Magnum P.I.
Okay. Very exciting. Let's move on to a category near and dear to my heart, Best Reality Series.
You're messing with the format.
Oh, shoot. Hit the button. Best Reality Series. Jared.
I only watched one, and I only started watching it about two-thirds of the way into the season, so I had to pick American Idol.
That's it.
By default.
That's the
reason. It's a good show, and I would consider watching it from the beginning next year.
Okay. Paula Abdul, drugged out wacko, or alcohol?
She's clearly on some substance. I don't know if I can identify
She's hooked on love.
Hooked on love. Adam, your selection.
Yeah. I went maybe a different route than most people would, and I went with the Real World Road Rules Challenge.
Oh, my.
Yes.
What is it about that show that drives you?
They drive me insane. They make me want to hurt both myself and the people around me. So there's got to be something compelling about it.
Sounds like something fun to watch.
that can stir emotions
around me. Yes. They're terrible human beings.
Well, anyone that knows my life knows that my wife loves reality shows. So I get to see a lot of them.
Yes.
And my selection for Best Reality Show of the Year would be Survivor Panama. That is the second Survivor series of the 2005-2006 series. Season, rather. It was really good episode, really good season this year because a lot of things happened that hadn't happened in other years. I mean, you had a very strong competitor who week after week would have been voted out if he didn't win these challenges. So you got to see a lot of internal strife with the other teams, some interesting prizes, interesting people on the show, and I think the show that's done very well from top to bottom.
Excellent.
Al, watch any reality shows?
I guess I'd say AI just for the voteforthewurst.com factor. I joined that club.
AI being
American Idol.
Thank you.
And I vote for the worst just to screw up the show, and hopefully the show will not do very well and piss people off.
Well, I think
mission accomplished.
Earl, any reality shows in your TV viewing?
Well, as you well know, I find reality television to be about the lowest common denominator on television.
Nothing's more compelling than your own life.
But, well, you know, it's like watching these people that are like crap, and you have no faith in the human race afterward. And these people aren't, you know, they're all selected by producers to do specific things.
Thank you.
I gotta go with the ultimate reality show.
Cops.
The Bible.
No.
Cops.
That's the greatest story ever told. No, the best reality show, and still to this day, because it actually involved real people doing real things,
$6 million
is either
man.
A, real people, or B, the Gong Show.
There we go.
I would like to point out for Earl that it is entertainment more than anything else. So it's
the same thing on every show, though.
Well, People like it, though. Also, I would like to, if we're going to go old school, I want to go Circus of the Stars.
Circus of the Stars, yeah.
What about Battle of the Network Stars?
I like that, too.
PM Magazine.
They cut it off. That's before incredible. They were going to use guns. That's incredible.
There you go.
There you go.
Earl, for the record, I think that your life would make a fantastic reality show, and I would pay to see it. Moving
on to... The funny point you make there, I'll keep it quick here.
Quickly.
As much as I hate reality shows, if I was offered to do one, I'd be right on
that. I think that I would watch and support you in every step of the way.
I appreciate that. I'd be the angry one.
Next category. Best newcomer. Adam, what is your selection?
Why is that so funny?
I can't say on radio.
Sure you can. It's not radio. There's no FCC watching.
Best newcomer, it's their first season. Earl,
we'll get to you.
Turn his mic off quickly.
You know, I was not all that wowed by any new shows this year, network shows, so I'm going with The Colbert Report.
Selection.
The only one that I watched that more consistently than The Daily Show now.
Funnier than The Daily Show.
I would say it's funnier than The Daily Show.
I second that motion.
Good enough. I selected Prison Break. I liked what it did. We've talked about it before. Action, adventure, absurdity. A hot nurse-type character that looks a little bit like...
Dead?
What's her name? Something Hunt. She was in Jerry Maguire. I can't
something
remember.
Something Hunt.
That's her last name. Anyway, forget it. Jared.
I agree with Shane. I also went with Prison Break. I was intrigued by it when I saw the ads for it over the summer, started watching it, was sucked in immediately, was pissed off when it paused in October, and enjoyed my life much more when it came back in March, and was just every minute I enjoyed.
Fantastic. Gentlemen, you watch any new shows this season?
Yes, and to answer your first question, Bonnie Hunt.
Bonnie Hunt, thank you. That's who she reminds me of. Young Bonnie Hunt. You can chime in any time. You don't have to wait. Doesn't stop.
My name is Earl.
That way, no. Yeah. My name is Earl.
My name? No, I didn't like that.
Oh, that's going to cause trouble.
I have to be honest. I haven't watched it. I haven't had time to. So I really don't have any. I just get tired of people thinking that because my name is Earl, I'm going to watch the show naked.
Hey, his name is
your
Earl.
Name is Earl.
It is.
And you should watch that show.
I'll have to.
You don't watch that show?
It's kind of a reality show on.
I don't really watch that much television. It's just, you know.
Well, if you're gonna start watching a little more TV.
I might. You give me some assignments, maybe I'll do that.
We'll give Earl homework, the television TV assignment. Homework. Earl, watch.
I'll
Sweet 16.
Oh no! He'll lose all faith in humanity at that point.
Write that down, Jared. I think we've got a bit.
I will accept here and now any television challenge thrown my way.
Thank you.
There's a bit. Earl's television challenge.
Yeah, we've got it. Moving on.
Next, real quick, I got to go with The Colbert Report and that Dave Spade Entertainment Show.
There we go.
Thank you.
Next category.
Continue.
Best guilty pleasure. I'll start it off. I actually didn't select a single television show. I selected a network.
Oh.
The Food Network.
Oh, good choice.
We watch a lot of that's the married we.
Get over here, meat.
My whole life is about what we do together as a couple. We watch a lot of Food Network, way too much. But, you know, for some strange reason, I find myself strangely attracted
Why
to
Why do you
it.
Consider that a guilty pleasure? It's not like bad programming. Is it? I mean, I only watch Alton Brown's shows.
There is some bad stuff on there, and I think it's kind of sad when you watch almost every single show on there at some point.
Okay.
And yes,
they only have five shows.
Yeah, and we've seen them every single time.
Okay.
So yes, Food Network from me.
Wow,
Jared.
As I've said before, I only watch good programming, so this was a tough one for me. I went with Smallville because it's a show that some people have said was okay in the beginning and has fallen apart, but I still kind of enjoy it, so I still watch it, and I'm still kind of hold on waiting for actual Superman to show up. I mean, him be in the outfit and everything. And not what you think, Earl. Superman is there. He's just not dressed up yet. That's my pick.
I thought Mark Miller said there was no way in hell he was going to have that outfit on him.
Don't interrupt our picks, Earl.
You just told us to interrupt.
Oh, did he? No.
Did he? Help me out here,
Al,
man.
Al has that.
Al has it. Earl, you've lost your rights.
You need to get like a golden key to give
Adam,
to people.
Best guilty pleasure.
By the way, for the rest of these, I think I have two or three picks for each one because they're just so hard for me.
Make it snappy.
I went with either The OC or, and I'm going to agree with Jared here, Smallville.
Oh,
The OC, I don't really know why it's even a guilty pleasure because it's not like, you know, like, ogling over any of the girls on it.
No.
It's not like that. I don't know. I think that I really like the Seth Cohen character from the first couple seasons. Very snarky and sarcastic and out of place in Southern California. Smallville.
Orange County.
Very much what Jared said. And that it's just... It has the potential to be so good, but all they do is get caught in terrible melodrama. So
fantastic.
My pick would have to be Seventh Heaven just to...
Oh, no!
just for the fact... You know, how many people like to watch car wrecks? I mean, I just watch it and just get upset at how this show is on television for how many years.
It's
yet
back.
I keep watching it just to complain.
Does your wife make you watch it, too? Or
no,
is that part of it?
No, we just... It's on. We don't have cable. It's on, and like I said, I just like to make fun of it. I guess my other guilty pleasure, I don't know if this is a guilty pleasure, would be Deal or No Deal.
That would be a guilty pleasure.
Yes. Wow. I would be semi-obsessed with that show. Another show you like to just watch just to yell at the TV. Like, you know, what are wrong with these people?
Yep.
You know, they're trying to give you a lot of money, and you are not taking it.
Take it. Earl.
I got to watch this. Guilty pleasure lately, I've kind of gotten stuck on reruns of America's Funniest Home Videos.
Oh, yes.
And it's just like, it's a vortex. I'm like, I don't want to watch this. But then I get stuck on watching.
Earl, I agree with you completely, and I feel there's nothing better than men being hit in the crotch with bats and balls.
I agree. But
I can watch that all day long. Or dogs jumping into crotches.
You know, one kid got hit in the head with a ball. I couldn't stop laughing. He was just running, and this thing came out of nowhere and just conked him.
Doing great on time.
Wait, real quick.
Okay, Earl, we've got to move on.
All right.
Next category.
Great start.
Best It Ended Too Soon. Jared.
Well, I had a couple here. I could have gone with Heist, which I really enjoyed, but a lot of people didn't. Kitchen Confidential, which was on for about 3 episodes and was destroyed by baseball playoffs. I liked that show. But I went with Love Monkey from CBS.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I loved that show.
Was it on VH1? Monkey?
Yes,
yeah,
was.
Well, they burned off the rest of the episodes, yeah, but okay. I mean, it's essentially done. I loved it. I liked the characters, even though they were starting to become a little bit more
rounded,
yeah, less caricatures. I love the fact that it, you know, gives you kind of a little inside scoop on the music industry.
I liked it, but wasn't it kind of Sex and the City for guys?
It was Sex and the City.
I never
for
watched
guys.
Sex and the City, so I have no frame of reference.
It was like that. It was like Sex and the City light, but when they focused on the music aspect of things, it was very good.
Yeah, it was much better.
Okay, my selection for It Ended Too Soon would actually be Arrested Development. Mm. I didn't pick a show that was early in the first season of its run. I just picked Arrested Development because it's a show that I think could have went on for a couple more years. It could have been pretty successful. And given the right time slot and a little bit more TLC, it would have been right there. Adam?
I went with Arrested Development. I went with two. Arrested Development, my only problem with that is that I think Fox gave it more than enough of a chance to build an audience, and it didn't. So it's hard for me to be one of those burn in hell Fox type people.
That's a shock.
So my other pick, and the one that I'm more proud of, is Justice League Unlimited. So I have the first cartoon on the list.
I think Earl just peed his pants on that.
Wow. That's what I was going to say. My thunder had been stolen.
Justice League Unlimited is probably, and I don't even like the DC Universe, is probably my favorite superhero cartoon
ever
that I can remember. Yeah, yeah, really long time.
Anything else on your list?
Nope, those two.
Okay, gentlemen, Al, Earl, television show, and we'll move on to the next guy.
Take it, Al.
Wow.
I would have picked Arrested Development, but I think it didn't have time to get bad. So I'm happy with the 3 seasons it had. But
Isn't it coming back?
No.
I thought it was coming back.
No, it's done. That's no. Right.
And I'm going to take Everwood because I think the main younger characters on the show had a few more years before it got awful.
Earl.
After 5 glorious seasons, it could have gone more. I'm going to go with Justice League Unlimited, and I'm still mad about The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr.
There you go.
You need to get over it.
10 years later. Next category. Biggest disappointment. This could be a hot category. Jared, start us off, please.
I could have gone with 2 shows that should have ended a couple years earlier. That would be That 70s Show and Will and Grace. Both finales were pretty sappy and boring. I went with Surface. This was a show I was very excited for, and I actually really enjoyed for most of the season until they decided to shorten its run, and then they had to try to wrap up all of the story threads in the last 2 or 3 episodes. They completely forgot about some elements, and it just kind of ended really... I didn't like the ending at all, and it's not really their fault, but that was a big letdown for me.
There you go. Adam?
I have three letdowns.
Oh, my.
First one is Four Kings.
Forgot about that.
It was terrible, and I really like Seth Green. And
he was the only good part of the show, yep. And even he wasn't that great.
Yeah, his character was just... It was
a little douchebag.
Yes, exactly. Another letdown, not for me, but for some people, might have been Counting Alex, lasting one show? That mm-hmm. was, but I call it a good letdown. That was
that the Heather Graham one?
No, happy,
that was the show accident. Starring Jenna, quote, AIDS is a state of mind, not a disease, Elfman. So
that only lasted one episode. I remember seeing all the ads, and then yeah, I guess it was gone.
They actually advertise it with that quote, by the way.
Well, that was probably a mistake.
And the last letdown for me is that this got picked up for another season is The War at Home. My letdown is it being picked up again.
Wow.
Very nice. Yeah. Okay, I have two shows. One I'm not disqualified to judge because I haven't finished watching the rest of the season, but from what I have seen, it sucked ass, which was Alias. Here's a show that had unlimited potential to be a fantastic thing, but I believe my former hot it girl, Jennifer Garner, her big ego ruined that show.
Will you be
and
watching?
She became unhot.
Yeah, she became unhot.
Never not found hot. Her hot.
Really? I kind of
mousy.
Hot. Yeah, I thought she looked like a man.
I grooved on her, and then she starts dating her co-stars and dumping them, and then dating not other hot. Co-stars and dating famous people not and making hot. Them angry.
Oh,
and
oh
she,
yeah.
And she ruined the show.
But will you be watching Alias animated?
Probably not.
Not hot.
My other biggest disappointment, which isn't quite as much of a disappointment for the end of the season, but throughout the season, it really was a letdown, was Desperate Housewives. And I'm the only one in the room that watched that show on a regular basis. And I really enjoyed it last season. A lot of soap opera-ish sort of things, some decent-looking gals here and there. But this season, I said here and there. And this season, they sort of dropped the ball. A lot of storylines went undeveloped until the very end. A lot of things that made it good before, they ignored. And just needs to get better to be a show that's going to be a powerhouse for ABC. You guys, anything quickly?
CW picking up Seventh Heaven over Everwood.
Oh, there you go.
Simply
always
stated.
About the Everwood with you.
Hey, when you love something,
that's Everwood.
When you have two dramas, you know you're going to like the one.
When you've lost 50% of your favorite shows, you're devastated.
Earl.
Simple as that.
I was disappointed by VH1's I Love Toys. It seemed to be written by somebody who did not love toys.
Except for the Cobra
Commander except for
moments.
Your cameo in I Love Toys.
I wasn't trying to plug that. I was talking
well,
stuff.
I'm
but
plugging
yes,
it for you.
No, I agree. I think it was a poor show.
Yeah.
I will tell the audience, yes, I am the one screaming Cobra in the little Cobra sections, and the drumming is by the masterful Jared.
You can also hear me low in there as well, saying Cobra.
Okay.
Are you in there? Cool.
Yeah, well, yeah, John and I, never mind, we'll talk about it later.
I can't
another
hear that
time. Finally, before we get to the Scope Show of the Year, next category. Best show featuring a former Buffy the Vampire Slayer cast member. Adam.
This one's easy for me. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, it could have been Veronica Mars because Allison Hannigan's in that sometimes, but I went with Robot Chicken because that's
out of nowhere.
Seth Green's baby.
No, I never
that's
a that.
Good pick.
That is a good pick.
Jared.
I was kind of going between either Bones, which I thought really got strong at the end of the season, but I went with How I Met Your Mother because it was a good show all season, and the final episode actually featured three former Buffy Universe cast members.
How I Met Your Mother?
Yes.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Just watched the season finale last night. The thing about that show, little sappy, falls into the sitcom stereotypes.
Yeah, but everything's so cynical now that sappy works.
But it does work, and you are curious about how this relationship and where it's going to go.
And Bob Saget now has work.
And Bob Saget is the voiceover in that show.
Yes.
Okay, we're actually going to add one quick category. Before,
are we?
Yes, we?
Just for me.
Just for Adam. Hey, give me that.
Yeah.
Honorable mention.
I did
Adam.
Want to do an honorable mention because it's probably my favorite show that I couldn't include because it's a summer-only show, but I wanted to include Entourage somewhere on the list, so that's why I did it.
Yes, starting next Sunday, as a matter of
fact. Yes, it does. So everyone should go out and hurry and watch the first two seasons.
Yep, second season DVD comes out this Tuesday.
Yep.
Okay, without further ado, let's move on to what everyone really is listening for, the Scope Show of the Year.
Oh, I thought I was going to get naked.
Thank you. We got clapping. Let's start with the third place winner of the Scope Show of the Year.
Now, wait.
We'll award the Scopey.
The three of us have not seen these, right? Your wife?
Not seen these.
I do not know what the results are.
Can you explain the tabulation process?
Yes, I'll do it one more time. The three hosts of the Scope, we each ranked our favorite shows from number one to number five, giving point totals to each of them. From there, in a hidden ballot, we passed the results on...
Just roll with it. I accidentally hit a button.
That's all right. I like that. We passed the results on to my beautiful wife, Carrie. She tabulated the results, put them in envelopes, and now I shall read the results.
So means that cheerleader show is going to be number one.
Carrie's going to sabotage everything. Okay, are we ready?
Yes.
Number three. Ripping the envelope.
This will be the second runner-up.
Take it easy, David Letterman.
Dolly Parton's boobs.
Too soon.
Thank you.
They need a visual.
Oh, my goodness. Right away. Number three, we've got a tie.
Oh.
The two shows that have tied for third place are Prison Break and Arrested Development. Adam, not happy about it, but when is he happy? Thank you.
I also, by the way, had Arrested Development being a little weaker this season, so that's why.
It's still a strong show, though. Yes. Weaker, but strong.
Yes.
Okay. Our runner-up, who knows? It could be a tie. I mean, this
will the show
crazy.
Have to fulfill the duties should the winner of the award not actually be able to complete it?
Yeah, it's very possible that might happen.
If this show winds up in Playboy, or if number one winds up in Playboy, this show will...
We can only hope it's Veronica Mars, then. There we go. I can't get the envelope.
Whoa. Look at that dramatic.
Let's see. Number two, The Office. Not a surprise.
Good choice.
I don't think number one's going to be surprised.
I think number one is pretty much a lock.
Well, let's see what it is.
Hold on.
Do we have some? Uh-oh. And the Scope Show of the Year, 2005-2006 fall television schedule
We're running out of timpani.
Hurry up. I can't. Lost, everyone. Thank you. Lost was not able to make it to the show. Accepting for Lost will be Adam. Adam?
My number two, I think, yeah. this goes out to all the people that complain about nothing happening on the show. So screw you guys.
Go crazy, Adam. Give me a minor rant about how all these people bitch the entire year about Lost being slow and not giving you anything.
I've only had one soda this morning. I don't know if I can yell yet. So here's the thing. I get really tired of people complaining about a show that they're watching and always wanting answers pretty much in every episode and are unwilling to let it act as an entertainment device, which is what Lost and every other TV show are.
Yes.
And people should just learn to go with the flow and let the show happen.
Unfold on its natural pace. Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Don't let those people watch The Prisoner.
You told them.
That's right. You.
Okay, well, I think that wraps up this fantastic television wrap-up. I'm saying wrap-up a lot. So stay tuned. We'll be watching shows next year, so you won't have to, and we'll have some more awards.
This is the Oprah Winfrey Celebrity Shout-Out of the Day.
Miss Patti LaBelle!
That was the Oprah Winfrey Celebrity Shout-Out of the Day. You go, girl! It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds, the Scope Song of the Week. Drop that beat, homie.
Hit it!
American Idol just ended. So here's a cover of a Kelly Clarkson song. This is H's Between Vowels with Since You've Been Gone right here on The Scope.
Here's the thing, we started out friends. It was cool, but it was all pretend. Yeah, yeah. Since you've been gone, you dedicated, you took the time. Wasn't long till I called you mine. Yeah, yeah. Since you've been gone, all you'd ever hear me say is how I picture me with you. That's all you'd ever hear me say. But since you've been gone, I can breathe for the first time. I'm so moving on, yeah, yeah. Thanks to you, now I get what I want. Since you've been gone, how can I put it? You put me on. I even fell for that stupid love song. Yeah, yeah. Since you've been gone, how come I'd never hear you say, I just wanna be with you. Guess you never felt that way. But since you've been gone, I can breathe for the first time. I'm so moving on, yeah. Thanks to you, now I get what I want. Since you've been gone, you had your chance, you blew it. Out of sight, out of mind. Shut your mouth, I just can't take it. Again and again and again and Since you've been gone, since you've been gone. Three geeks on the internet, WSCP.
Under the scope. Welcome to Under the Scope. This is the part of the show when we cover the latest news, reviews, and what's coming soon in the world of pop and geek culture. So let's start this off with the news and our good friend, Adam. Adam?
Hi.
Oh, yeah.
What's going on in the world of news?
A few things. First thing we're going to look at today, we're going to actually look at it. We have video.
We're looking at it. You aren't, America.
There's a new phenomenon sweeping the country, and it's nerd fight clubs.
Nice use of the singular.
Thank you. Phenomena. I don't know.
What is this nerd fight club?
It's a thing that's been going on mostly in Southern California, you know, where all the nerds are.
Yep.
They're not here. Where
rich nerds.
Guys that are, you know, you call desk jockeys, are getting together to get out their frustrations, beating the crap out of each other.
Like they get to be superheroes, essentially.
Yeah. Right. In fact, there's a quote from a psychologist in this news story where they kind of explain why they're doing it. You get to be a superhero for a night. We have to go to work every day. We're consistently told to buy things we don't need, and just for a couple hours, we have the freedom to do what we want.
Take that, consumerism.
Right. I have a problem with this because I don't think that it can be so easily explained. I think that it has nothing at all to do with the plastic IKEA world that we live in, and it has everything to do with that you get a rush out of beating people up.
Mm-hmm. Are you sure it's not video games that are causing people to be violent?
There's also a psychologist saying that.
Of course. The so-called psychologist.
Right. Men involved in these fight clubs often carry bottled up violent impulses learned in childhood from video games, cartoons, and movies, says
Crap.
Michael Menser.
Earl, you're a violent person. Would you ever join a fight club?
Yeah, because you know what? It's not about...
He's very excited.
I'm sorry. This has got to be
if the five
the dumbest
of us,
thing
can
I've
we
ever
start
heard.
One?
Yeah, I was actually going to say, next week, everyone, we'll be starting the Scope Fight Club.
Yeah. By invitation only.
I'll fight anybody in this room.
I'll organize it. I'll organize it.
No, there's no money. There's no money. You just do it.
Yeah. Let's do it.
You do
it
for the sheer thrill of it.
The one thing that...
For the love of violence.
That I was surprised about. Mm-hmm. I guess not surprised because I'm so cynical, but... I'm not glib.
You're never surprised about anything.
Right.
You're always expecting
is that there's, so these are adults that are doing this. And,
yes.
You know,
so-called
adults. They had interviewed... or they had asked the police a question, you know, like, are you going to... you know, intervene. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, they say no. If no one's going to the hospital and they're doing this on private property and it's consenting adults, that you know, we wouldn't do anything, which I like. There was one bit where they say earlier this month in Arlington, Texas, a high school student who didn't want to participate was beaten so badly that he suffered a brain hemorrhage and broken vertebrae.
Wow.
But
that's a fight club. They enjoyed it.
So that happened. Then, the follow-up, six teenagers were arrested after DVDs of the fight appeared online. So, before the DVDs went into production...
It was okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. But afterwards, then it's not okay to profit from it.
Since it is a nerd fight club, they actually hit each other with slide rules and scientific calculators.
What is the first rule of nerd fight club?
Why is it called nerd fight club?
Don't
blog about...
Very thank nice you. There. I'm here all week.
And the line of the night.
There's no. I mean, no one's technically calling it that. That's just my.
Oh, okay, because it's like what they say, oh, wait, you played football, you're not allowed to join our nerd fight? You play tennis?
What? Nerd fight.
But I like that the article starts off by saying that they use every household object imaginable, from frying pans and tennis rackets to pillowcases stuffed with soda cans.
So like, it's like...
and used Microsoft ergonomic keyboards.
That Battle Royale thing.
That Japanese movie. That was a little deadlier.
But here's, yeah, but I mean, they hit each other with frying pans.
But here's the... Okay, frying pans and pillowcases with soda... I assume they're full soda cans.
Yeah.
Those hurt like hell.
Yeah, that can kill someone with that.
They're just hitting people with recyclables.
No, well, you get hit with a tennis racket. It's like, it's, you know, it's like annoying.
Well, you hit it from the side, you're going to hurt someone.
Was it just restrung?
Oh.
Wow.
Then you get your face look like a waffle.
Yeah.
And then that would be
hit
bad.
By a waffle iron.
Yeah. No, I saw something about this on like Nightline or Maury Povich, where it was backyard wrestling.
Both very reputable.
And yeah, I know.
And similar.
But they showed like videotape of kids in the backyard smacking the crap out of each other. But psychologists blamed wrestling.
Well, and I guess I have a problem with people getting, you know, so deep in it that they try to explain it away as that, you know, there are these social issues. It's like, no, it's fun to punch people. That's all it is.
And
so
sometimes I blame evolution for giving me two arms to hit people with.
Yeah.
Two quick stories.
Yeah, any other news?
Yes. Juan Valdez is retiring, guys.
No!
I know.
What about Conchita?
The biggest surprise about in this article? Beer. His name, not Juan Valdez.
I feel robbed.
I've been lied to?
Yes.
Colombia's coffee ambassador to the world, Carlos Sanchez. So... Not
it's like it'd be in America, it'd be like John Smith would be
exactly right. Instead right. of Kevin Turner
is finally quitting after 4 decades of playing the role of Juan Valdez. So he's the guy everyone knows. He's got the mule and the big bag of
Conchita
of cocaine, coffee.
What?
Juan, why?
Juan Valdez. He did actually get to be in a movie.
Did he really?
He was in Bruce Almighty.
Yes, he was.
Oh, that's right.
A brief cameo in Bruce Almighty. So yeah, he's being replaced by just some younger version, you know, some younger guy.
And so they're gonna screw it up like they did Brownie.
Well, he's actually the third, or
they're
the second,
screw it up.
The second or the third Juan Valdez.
He's a marketing tool.
I thought the new Juan Valdez was gonna be Shakira.
No, not this.
What about Chichi?
Thank you.
Conchita, the mule,
no,
has actually been replaced several times.
Yeah, so the mule's only lived 12 years. Yeah,
Earl.
Wow, Earl with the mule knowledge.
Weird. We might have to have an Earl livestock quiz in the next show.
Earl, what is the tastiest part of the pig?
That would be the rump.
Adam, any more news?
I don't like how Earl kind of turned that into like a sexy comment.
We're not about sex here. We're doing this for nerds. We don't
give
have
me
sex.
Any word, I can say it.
Oh, it's chaos.
So,
it's
kind chaos. Of a chaos. Weird story coming out of Shanghai. A kid was born with 3 arms. Now that's
holy sh.
That's not.
It's true.
So weird. I guess kids are born with extra, you know, fingers and appendages. Not
if that's what you're calling it,
right? he is a boy. But the thing is that usually one is incredibly underdeveloped, you know, like the extra one. And it's obvious that it's
one being an appendage.
Exactly.
Yes.
But in this case, they're 2 well-formed arms. So it's, and this really doesn't do it any justice. So we'll link to the article that has a picture, but the kid's got 2 left.
Yeah, they look. Yeah, they look full arms. Yeah.
They don't know which arm to take off because they're both so well formed. Sorry to take your story thunder, but
leave them both and let the man decide.
So this does link into something we'll talk about a little later.
6 chopsticks.
Cyberforce.
Cyberforce
is a comic book that kind of relates to this.
It does.
Character Stryker had like 2 extra arms added.
Weren't they
bionic
arms or something
like
that?
Yeah, they were. They're like,
keep talking, Cyberforce, Jared, and you're going to be quite the ladies' man. Next.
Yeah. So. Apparently, this is not rare at all either, because there's a hospital in China that's dedicated to this. So I don't know.
There's something in China that I've never
Jared
seen.
Jared hating on the hospitals dedicated to extra
Screw
appendages.
You, Shanghai.
It's something in the water.
We here in America don't have extra arms.
Right.
Yeah, no kidding.
Any more news, Adam?
Last story. Yeah. Another comic book related one. Do you guys know that new Batman's a lesbian? That Batwoman is a lesbian?
The new Batman's a lesbian.
Right.
I've heard.
He likes women.
Trapped in a man's body.
Whoa.
Right.
Who is... Do they reveal the identity of Batwoman?
Her name? It's the original Kathy Kane.
No, I thought it was...
What?
No, it was someone who has the original name, but
isn't
the same
person.
Yes,
she has the same name. She's.
What is the point, though? Why...
For sex
how did
appeal?
It advance the story that she's a lesbian?
Well, how does it not... Maybe that has nothing... Why should her... sexual preference.
I don't know anything about it, and it's advancing the story for me.
See?
It's advancing something for
so,
Al.
So, okay.
I'm not sitting on the couch with him.
It got them in the news, that's for sure.
Yeah, so that's interesting.
They went through the whole year of this war thing to get Batman back to like an actual Batman comic, and now they're screwing it up again.
Well, this is Batwoman.
Because lesbos screw things up? Is that
No, we don't need any more damn characters in a Batman comic.
And the next thing you know, she'll want to get married in the comic book. I mean, come on.
Or adopt kids.
Or adopt children.
How about Batwoman comes in and fights crime and kicks the crap out of bad guys?
And then bangs a dude.
Yeah. I'll show you.
With an American flag on.
God bless Batwoman.
And then DC Comics is gone.
Okay, so there are a couple of quotes in the article that was on CNN that I liked. First one was from a poster that was commenting about it. So
a poster being,
you know, not a poster on the wall.
Oh, okay.
Someone
I need
posting.
Clarification.
Wouldn't ugly people as heroes be more groundbreaking? One poster asked.
Yes.
You know,
yeah, no kidding.
A 200-pound woman, a man with a horseshoe hair loss pattern, people with cold sores, etc. So I like the last one, like Herpy Man would be.
Herpes Man, yeah.
Herpy Man. Spreading his sores for
the
justice.
Thing. There's lots of ugly superheroes. And, I mean, they're mostly villains.
Batman, Superman,
that's the thing,
Wonder Woman.
Well,
ugly.
Yeah, but even the guys who are like blue with tails and stuff, they're still ripped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're still ripped. And
except for, I guess, the Blob.
The Thing.
But he's a bad
guy. Thing. Well,
I
want to
see an ugly good guy.
He's still ugly.
He is
ugly. I don't want to see an ugly good guy.
And when
he's ugly in human terms.
Plastic Man's ugly.
No, he's not. He's good looking.
What about?
Would you bang him?
The Blue Beetle's ugly.
If he turned himself into a woman, Blue Beetle. Of course he's ugly. He's dead.
Well, he was ugly.
Look at that.
He was not ugly.
It's a first. If Blue Beetle ever became a woman, Earl is tapping that.
No, he said Plastic Man.
Yeah, Plastic Man could trick me and
whatever.
Turn into a woman. He
anyway,
turned into some hot chick
he
for
could.
All the years.
He could turn his outie to an innie.
Yep. Anyway.
By stretching my belly button, I can fool everyone.
I don't know.
Off the rails. That's where we are.
Somebody out there listening is laughing their ass off.
There's nobody
right
listening
now.
At this point.
Adam, can you bring this under
yes,
any sort of control?
I'm working on it. So Dan Dido, one of the executive editors.
Yeah,
the bald smiling guy in the back of every issue now.
Yeah. No, I thought that was Jose, what's his name, on the Marvel ones.
What? Is that the new Juan Valdez?
So anyway, he said, this quote makes no sense to me. He said, it's kind of weird, Dido said.
Yeah.
We had a feeling it would attract some media attention.
Really?
But this much, we're a little surprised. It's like, whatever.
Can you see him winking through that paper?
Yeah.
He's like,
yeah,
eh.
Right.
Elbowing you. We never thought it would cause any.
Al just said he had a boner just from hearing this, so clearly that's what they
I
want to
know. Is Batwoman getting her own comic, or is she going to
Yes, they're relaunching Batwoman.
Batwoman.
She's actually going to be in a new issue of Strangers in Paradise.
Yeah. Mm.
It says on the title, Earl, on the design, it says Batwoman, lesbian crime fighter.
Doesn't right it underneath. Say something like, you know, librarian by day, carpet-munching crime fighter by night?
Does she only fight heterosexuals?
Yeah, that's true. Is she against heterosexuals? Or
she only fights Newt Gingrich.
Or is it going to be like one of those things where, like, when a superhero comes in and has a certain power, he only fights villains that are able for him to tackle? You know, so in other words, is she going to be fighting, you know, people that hate gay people or something every issue, or?
We can only hope, Earl.
Well, if
we can only hope.
One thing that is important to note that I didn't say is that if you're reading 52, which you are, right? Shane?
I do not read that. No,
oh, okay.
I'm reading 52. I've been suckered into the deal.
She's maybe going to have some sort of relation with what's her name?
Montoya. I was
yes.
going to say. That's
Renee
why I thought,
Montoya.
That's why I asked. I thought Batwoman was going to be Montoya because right now she's lost her job and she's going crazy.
One final question for you, Earl,
yes.
And then we'll wrap this news segment up. Lesbians, do they have a place in modern comic books?
Yeah, if well written.
Not the answer you were looking
no,
for.
No, I was
Shane.
Looking for something a little bit more.
Oh,
yeah.
You wanted me to say no, goddamn lesbians,
or right. something? I don't know.
Lesbians have a place in my bedroom.
Wow.
How's that for an answer, tough guy?
I'm not sure what I think of that. So,
are you frightened of the lesbian?
I am frightened. Adam, are we done with the news now?
Yes, maybe forever.
Thank you.
It's been soiled.
Yes, we'll never be doing it again. Well, let's move on to the review section of Under the Scope. Now, for people that are not familiar with this particular segment, we have a rating system where it goes from 0 to 4 stars. 2 being an average, 2 stars being an average score, 4 being top of the heap, 0 being utter crap. And we review anything from movies, TVs, DVDs, anything that really...
Comic books.
Anything that captures our attention.
Campbell's soup.
This week, we're going to put all of our effort into one review, one movie, the third in a series. X-Men, the final, the last stand.
The final.
The final chapter.
The final countdown.
Okay.
Yeah, if you could play it now, I'd appreciate it.
Adam?
Yes.
Take it away.
All right. Yes, Shane, that's right. So our first and only review is the Brett Ratner-directed X-Men, the last stand. The first clip we're going to play right now is a conversation between Professor X and the weather-controlling mutant Storm.
I don't understand. Magneto's a fugitive. We have a mutant in the cabinet, a president who understands us. Why are we still hiding?
We're not hiding, but we still have enemies out there. And I must protect my students. You know that.
Yes, but we can't be students forever.
Storm, I hadn't thought of you as my student for years. In fact, I thought that perhaps you might take my place someday.
You're glib.
But Scott's...
Scott's a changed man. He took Jean's death so hard.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, things are better out there. But you of all people know how fast the weather can change.
There's something you're not telling us.
Very clever.
Mm. But Professor X is hiding from
Thank
something.
You. Read it like you mean it.
Right. I'm not reading what? Former student and super mutant Jean Grey is back from the dead. Because as someone famous once said, in comic books, no one ever dies.
No.
Not in the Marvel Universe, anyways.
And she's not quite... Right, because in any universe, they stay dead. And she's not quite in control of her powers anymore. Adding to the X-Men's problems... X-Men's?
X-Men's. Well, it's the team.
Yeah, all right.
And the mutant problems.
Possessive, come on.
A potential cure to the mutant gene has been discovered, and the government might force it on every mutant in America. Of course, super... villain Magneto won't stand for this, quietly building his own personal mutant army.
The Brotherhood of Evil Mutants.
Yes.
It's like he's reading the script. I mean, reading your mind.
Yes.
In this next clip, a government official tries to interrogate Magneto's confidant, Mystique, which I almost
Raven,
read as
Raven, I asked you a question.
I don't answer to my slave name.
Raven Darkholm, that's your real name, isn't it? Or is he convinced you don't have a family anymore?
My family tried to kill me, you pathetic meat sack.
Meat sack.
Okay, then, Mystique. Where is he?
In here, with us.
I don't want to play games with you. I want answers. You don't want to play games with me? You are going to stop this. Tell me, where is Magneto? You want to know where he is?
Not the sink!
What?
That clip works better when you can see it.
Everything does.
Yeah. But that one especially.
It's a limitation of the media.
Not us.
Medium.
We work better when you can't see us.
Hey, yo.
I like that.
So all of this leads up to a giant rumble between the X-Men and the Brotherhood of Mutants, as Earl helped.
Evil mutants.
They don't call
That's
them evil
That's not what it says here on my script.
I mean, in your brain.
They don't call it... Well, they're not called that in the movie.
Battling for the fate of mutants and Homo sapiens.
Did I misspell it? Sorry.
Alike. I'm such a jerk.
You can just gloss over it, really.
You're going to be hearing that glib sound bit over and over again.
Glib.
All right. I did not see the movie because I will not pay.
Wow.
For
pirate
dribble.
Crap.
Right.
For dribble. For dribble, huh?
And did I say dribble?
I think did. You did say
oh,
it.
God. But yeah, I know that, that both Jared and Shane did see it. So,
yes.
Jared, why don't you start off? What did you think?
I really enjoyed the viewing of this film. It was very exciting, and we had watched the first two films prior to it. So there was what I thought there was a nice continuity between the starting and ending of the films. So what the ending was of one film was the start of the next and so on and so forth. And they carried that through to the third part. I thought the visual effects were spectacular. They were very convincing when the Golden Gate Bridge was flying through the air. I was convinced the Golden Gate Bridge had actually been lifted from its moorings and was flying through the air. But what I didn't like is some of the changes to the characters from the comics, like Multiple Man, who I really enjoyed in the comics. They made him a bad guy. And Juggernaut, they really gave him some terrible dialogue. But I just think that it went along really well. I like the expanded Storm role. They gave a lot to Wolverine, but I think he's probably the best character and maybe one of the better actors in the movie, so that's probably makes sense. But by the end of it, they really stopped characterization and just devolved into a big giant mutant battle with a bunch of extra characters that they never bothered to tell us who they were. It was just a bunch of bodies on screen. So, you know, it had promise. It was a bit thin, I thought. Shane, anything to add?
Yeah, I dislike this movie probably a little bit more than you. I felt that the character development overall was lacking. I didn't really connect with anyone there. I don't like Storm. I don't like what they've done with Storm in the entire series of movies, and I didn't like the fact that Halle Berry seemed to get a larger role just because she whined and bitched about it, or she wouldn't be in it. I didn't really like what they did with Wolverine in the sense that I felt that they made him a little too nicey-nice. I like Wolverine with a little bit more edge. And I don't necessarily like him as a lead character in an X-Men movie. Although he is the most popular, I think sometimes less is more. And there are other members of the team that deserve a little bit more of a little face time. And one of those members would be Cyclops, who I have complained for years. And it's all that complaining is what got me laid, because it's such an important thing.
Wow.
That Cyclops, I think they've completely misused him and they've completely ruined his character in the movies. Compared to what he would be in the comic book. Yeah, I felt they made him too much of a prick, and he should be a little bit more likable and a little bit more of a leader and a little less dead, I guess. Yeah, thank you, Adam. I did think the flashback scenes were cool when Magneto and Professor X went to see Jean Grey for the first time. Yeah, they flashed back to the 80s, and they used this cool special effect technology to make them look younger, them being Magneto and Professor X. So that was pretty cool. Now, a lot's been said about Brett Ratner directing this movie and, you know, either ruining it or making it great. I feel like, you know, I don't think he really ruined it. If there's anything to blame for this movie, it'd probably be the script.
Yeah.
I think maybe he directs differently, maybe a little bit more of a heavy hand, but I think he stayed pretty true to the feel of what the movies were before. I just think that in an effort to make the movie exciting and different and maybe branch it off from the comic book.
And have some big climatic battle at the end.
He kind of came in late, so he had to work with what he had.
Yeah,
you got to remember, what's his name? Matthew Vaughn had his hands on it.
Yeah, he left.
He left because he couldn't handle it. Well, he didn't want to live in America for a year. He wanted to stay in England.
There you go.
And they wouldn't let him go.
He enjoys socialized medicine.
Yes. So I think that a lot of people that complain about that maybe need to take a look at the essence of what the movie came from, which was a sub-average script with maybe a little too much deviation from the comic book. Which
being somebody that doesn't read the comic book, I got to say, on a movie-wise sense, mm-hmm. all three seem to flow pretty good together.
Earl Lucas chiming in, by the way.
Yes, thank you. How do you do?
The very distinctive.
Yep. We'll bleep out your last name.
I think X-Men 3 seemed to be missing scenes. I think it needed like an extra 10-15 minutes added to it to flesh a couple of things out.
Maybe tell you who some of these people were.
Yeah. But I mean, there were so many damn mutants, I wouldn't want another hour added saying, look at this mm-hmm. guy, here's his backstory. Look at this guy, here's his backstory. I thought it went fine watching the first two and then seeing the third. Like I said, I think it flowed nicely. If anybody wants to blame anybody, blame Bryan Singer for leaving.
Wow.
Why would you blame him for leaving?
Because, well, everybody's always blaming Brett Ratner, but it's not like 20th Century Fox.
But I just said don't
Bryan
blame him.
Singer.
It's not like listening.
Singer didn't write the script.
I don't think
Singer
did write.
Singer wrote the story and everything, though.
I don't think he wrote the script, though, Earl.
He didn't write the script, but he wrote the story. Matthew Vaughn took over.
Yeah, but the story is fine, but when you have terrible dialogue and poor characterization,
that came from Matthew Vaughn, though. He wrote most of the script because he wanted to reinvent the X-Men, and then Brett Ratner kind of said, I just got handed a project, I'll do what I can with it and bring it back.
For the proof that we should not trust the British.
British ever. Always bring things down.
Right.
Brett Ratner is Jewish. He really goes on about how Jewish he is, too.
Oh.
He does!
Another reason I will not see this film.
Wow.
Did you see the first two?
They're oppressing your people, Adam.
Did you see the first two?
Yeah.
And so what's wrong with the third one?
I'm just giving it a hard time because I haven't had a chance to see it.
It's all about entertainment.
It's an act. That's what we call it.
It's a radio play.
I thought it wasn't great, but it wasn't terrible. I know this movie's turning out to be one that you either love or you hate.
You don't love or hate it.
I'd put it in the love. I'd see all three as like an. I give all three like an 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10.
It's like a big 5.5 hour movie.
Are you happy with what they did with Wolverine?
Yeah, because movie wise, it fit. And when the spinoff comes off, he'll probably go back to being a mean guy.
Storm sucks a little or sucks a lot?
Considering there was nobody left in the movie by halfway through it, she was about the only one left that could lead the team. And she leads the team in the comic book, doesn't she?
Yeah, on occasion. From time to time.
From time to time.
Professor X, completely wasted.
For all
of the movies.
For a good cause. You know, here's how the pattern of the films go. Professor X and Cyclops show up in the beginning. Something happens and they disappear. Mm-hmm. And then they show up at the end. In this case, they don't. And Cyclops, his time gets cut in half each film.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he gets angrier and angrier.
He got really angry. Yeah.
And he got cut in half.
Al, any opinion on muscular bodies crammed into leather?
No. All I know is the movie sold $120 million the first week.
Yeah, it beat the Da Vinci Code, so I thought that was kind of cool.
I have that in my notes.
I was happy to see a lot of comic book elements actually make its way into this film. It seemed like Bryan Singer was afraid to do, you know, the Cannonball Express, Sentinels, the Danger Room, all that stuff. It's in there.
Thought bubbles.
It's not Cannonball Express. Yeah. It's called the Fastball Special.
Sorry, the Fastball Special.
Cannonball Express. Was that with Burt Reynolds?
They're
throwing Burt Reynolds at the giant robots.
Sorry, Burt Reynolds has been floating over my head.
It's him throwing Dom DeLuise. It works out really well.
Wow, he throws him about 3 feet.
I think it was X-Men Legends, and I was Wolverine, and Shane took Colossus, and he would not leave me alone.
I just want to throw you, Earl.
I felt violated all the time. I'm like, dude, come on. I'm trying to get some health here, and he throws me.
This wouldn't be a Scope review without a Scope score. Jared?
The Scope score is 2.25 stars.
Oh, it can be a 2.5.
Earl, arguing with...
We've got to use those quarter stars.
Yep.
We do tend to favor them.
I know you paid a lot for them, but there'll be other things that get the quarter stars.
Well, thank you, everyone, for sitting in on the review. I'm sure there'll be more to come.
Are you going to unlock us and let us go now?
No, you're stuck in for the last section of the Under the Scope. It's the coming soon. A fan favorite, if you will.
You mean our favorite?
Our favorite. Yeah. Adam, you're going to have to zip through it as usual, but there's a lot of stuff coming up in the next 2 weeks.
Too much. Next 2 weeks, June 6th, a couple of CDs that are coming out that some people might care about. AFI, the American Film Institute has...
AFI.
Screw them.
December Underground is a new album from them. And Paul Oakenfeld, also on June 6th. Hmm. Crickets, if we get those, because I don't care.
Wow. Combo platter.
The following week, June 13th, the Future Heads, Busta Rhymes, and Sonic Youth.
Any interest, anyone?
Yeah.
Al, you're the music guru.
I like the first Future Heads
album.
I didn't like it as much as most people did, so I will. And Sonic Youth, I think I like maybe 2 songs per album. So
they're still around.
They are still around, Earl, and cranking it out.
Wow.
Movies over the next 2 weeks.
Big movies.
We've got a weird gimmicky one coming out on a Tuesday. This Tuesday, The Omen, which would be, so it's 666 is the day that it's coming out.
Remake.
Well, okay, so remake of the 30-year-old movie. Now, okay, I've never seen the original, although it's always on TV. But it's kind of what I've heard in that Psycho line of remakes where it's almost scene for scene. It's not scene for scene as, you know, like,
scenes I've seen from the trailer seem to mimic the original movie quite a bit.
I disagree with that one.
Well, I mean,
they add stuff.
Well,
but I mean,
it's kind of like how Tim Burton redid Willy Wonka. Yeah, it followed. Yes, they go to a chocolate factory. But then they added.
But then they have group sex.
But,
yeah.
Okay.
Whoa.
From
I missed that part.
What
in the bathroom?
That was Willy Wonka.
Thank you.
From what I've read, and I watch the, like I do every Saturday, I watch the Ebert and Ropers.
I love those.
They really liked it, and they said it's a remake, but it's a good remake. And they say that the photography is really well done, the cinematography is really well done. So,
Would you see that because of that review?
No, I didn't see X-Men 3. I probably won't see this in the theaters, but I will see it. I'll put it on my Netflix list now, and when it comes out in six months.
Why didn't Ebert and Ropert win any awards today?
This is a good question.
Yeah.
We'll have to talk about that.
They were my number one.
Best syndicated show?
It sounds like they rope you in. Never mind.
Roper.
We don't allow puns. You're kicked out.
Next movie, please.
You're banned for at least one show.
June 9th. You're banned for a week.
Lose a turn.
June 9th, the next Pixar movie comes out, Cars, getting really good buzz from everything I've read so far.
Jared's not excited about it, Adam.
I am, from a Pixar standpoint. I'm not, just because I'm not sure how I'm going to relate to a car.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess apparently bugs and toys I can get
used to.
Yeah,
how do you relate to a monster?
Cars aren't just, monsters, I don't know, they're furry.
Didn't Pixar do that fish movie? Finding Nemo.
I don't know.
That fish movie. How dare you?
I was happy because I was saying, Jesus, the fish part of me is finally
I'm having kind of a backlash against CG animated films and their need to be over-the-top wackiness.
Last week, I did on Ebert and Roper, they had an earlier review, and they loved it. They are saying
I'm sure it'll be great.
Yeah. What don't they love?
Lots of stuff. Also,
they didn't love Fall Guy.
On the 9th.
That wasn't a movie, man.
I don't care. They hated it anyway.
Also on the 9th, A Prairie Home Companion comes out.
Flash Gordon, they hated it too.
Unnecessary.
I've never listened to the NPR show, and I really don't care. But I know it's got a local flavor to
local
it.
Local connection.
I know that all Best Buy Reward Zone members got an email that said that they could get free tickets, and I didn't even bother.
I did bother, and I got it, and I couldn't go. Because I thought it'd be nice to be able to see a movie ahead of time. I could have talked about
it. It was a free movie, and I just didn't even care. I didn't care enough to click.
Next. Following Friday, June 16th, two movies coming out that everyone's going to be really excited for. The third Fast and the Furious film, Tokyo Drift.
Woo!
Earl, will you see that movie 5 or 6 times in the theater?
Jeez, I haven't even seen, I only saw the first one.
The correct answer is 5. Next movie.
I have never seen.
Oh, yeah, Lion Bag. And now I am not going to stand for this distortion of character.
Wow.
I've never seen any of the Fast and Furious films, so I feel like I'm missing out.
If I step on your phone, Adam, Carrie, I'm sorry.
We're playing Footsie over under the table. Hey, the now. Other big movie coming out that day is Nacho Libre.
There we go. That's my winner.
The story of the founder of Taco Bell.
Nacho! It's pairing up the Napoleon Dynamite writer-director, and I don't know if we've talked about it on the show. I think that's an incredibly overrated movie. And Jack Black, who I used to think was overrated and now have kind of
gotten, come back.
Yes.
King Kong.
The thing is,
we're ignoring King Kong.
On paper, this movie could be the funniest movie ever in history. Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, if you like Napoleon Dynamite, right?
I'm not expecting anything.
I think it's going to be great.
I have a feeling I'm going to be the only person on the planet liking this film. And it's going to destroy the careers of Napoleon Dynamite people and Jack Black.
It will not.
I don't know. I got that feeling.
Everyone will recover.
I think that Reese Witherspoon movie is going to destroy John Hadare.
What is she doing these days?
What's that?
The dead one from last year?
Oh, yeah. And also the special ed bench warmers or whatever.
That was actually funny. It was, that's a
I saw
pleasure.
It, not funny. And I like really bad movies. Or really bad movies. No, I'm going to agree with
I like
with
looking at
one.
All the Star Wars.
What's coming on DVD?
What's coming out on DVD?
No, we're doing TV first.
Okay.
But I would like to mention that also later this summer, I'm sure we'll talk about, we need to remember, 2 Richard Linklater movies.
All right.
Ah, yes. A Scanner Darkly and what's the other one?
What is it?
A Scanner Darkly.
And
it's an animated type movie.
Yeah, I'm forgetting. Why am I blanking?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, there's
a triple dip of Dazed and Confused.
No, that's...
Next.
Okay, so on TV, premieres, summer premieres, I guess. Yeah. Windfall on NBC. Don't know what that one is.
It's about a group of people that win the lottery, and their lives are changed. One got a B in Entertainment Weekly.
One guy's going to buy a football team or a soccer team.
Wow, they must have won a lot of money.
Yeah,
that's the same
I
thing.
I found that amazing.
The 4400 starts its third season?
Yes. Third season.
Third season on
B+
June 11th.
Entertainment Weekly.
Looking USA Network. Deadwood comes back on the 11th also, Sunday night.
Looking forward to the DVD.
On HBO. Entourage, which I talked about earlier, Sunday night on HBO.
Rent the DVD, you guys.
I just started watching.
At least you, Al.
I've watched 3.5 episodes of that already, Shane.
You like it?
Yes, it's fantastic.
It's a good show.
Yeah, it's really good. Very underrated. I think it kind of gets a little buzz, but not as much as it deserves.
For the record, I was on that bandwagon before anyone else.
You
Thank
were.
You.
I do
you
remember
driving
that.
It.
And,
I drove
and
it.
I remember you getting annoyed
and it's a stick shift, so it was a challenge.
You getting annoyed that Hug It Out, Bitch became popular because...
Hug It Out.
He only used it like once.
Right.
Anyway, next.
And then he started using it too often. Okay. Making the Band 3 on MTV on June 15th.
Earl will be checking that out.
Yeah. You know what?
Isn't it always?
Earl was telling me his favorite Making the Band was Making the Band 2.
He tried. Earl tried out and didn't make it.
Is that my television challenge?
It might
no, we'll have Earl TV
we'll
challenge.
We'll get back to that.
And another season of Pimp My Ride also on June 15th.
Fantastic.
Good
DVDs.
Lord, never stop.
June 6th, Underworld Evolution. Huh?
did anyone see it?
Entourage, second season. Dazed and Confused, Criterion Collection. Now, whenever
that is a triple dip, ladies and gentlemen.
Straight A rating.
Here's the thing. When a Criterion comes out, I don't let the triple and double dipping apply to it because
they just did a special edition.
But
like a year
didn't
ago.
Do a Criterion.
I don't care. I just did one.
There's like a 60-page book that comes with it.
What am I going to do with that?
Why don't they do a Criterion edition of Ishtar while they're at it? Jesus.
Because that was a bad movie.
Next.
Dazed and Confused is not a bad movie.
It it's a great movie, but it doesn't need three different DVDs.
If we, didn't, if we weren't running a five-hour show, we'd talk about it.
He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, Season 2, Volume 1. So they're
this
breaking
week,
this one up like they did with the Transformers.
Those are good set.
Now,
they
but they put a lot of work into
it.
Is it like 50 episodes? Is that why?
Yeah, it's a long season. It's like 25
a
piece.
Didn't they lose some episodes because of a fire, or did they actually find elements?
No, I think they have everything.
Did they? Oh, good.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Also, June 6th, Sarah Silverman's stand-up concert movie with skits, Jesus is Magic.
I put that in there for you.
Thank you.
I would like to mention Sarah Silverman is a very hot woman.
She was also in Entourage.
They say that's going to be very good or very bad, depending on your taste.
Adam saw it?
I saw it in the theaters, and I liked it a lot. If you like offensive humor and
Jewish
girls with mustaches.
If I liked Aristocrats, will I like...
Yeah,
this one?
I think so. I mean, I don't know that that's a good thing to base it on. And she does singing, which some people didn't like. But if you liked her in The Aristocrats when she talked about being raped by that guy, it was a joke.
If you like that, that's great.
Not hot.
Yeah, why don't you watch I Spit on Your Grave while you're at it, Tucker?
Anyway, yeah, so if you like...
Nerd Fight Club.
If you like Adam Carolla's girlfriend, go see that.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Jimmy Kimmel. Adam Carolla's girlfriend is the Bride of Frankenstein.
They're both hairy. I don't know.
They are both hairy.
I mean Sarah Silverman and Adam Carolla. They're both hairy.
Hey, yo. Nice.
June 13th, Walker, Texas Ranger, the first season.
Wow.
Sweet.
I can't wait.
It'll make getting those great Walker, Texas Rangers quotes out of the DVDs that much easier, out of the episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And Beavis and Butthead. Wow, so this week's pretty weak. Beavis and Butthead Volume 2.
Real struck.
The Mike
struck.
Judge collection. Because Volume 1, I guess, he had nothing to do with. And nothing?
That's it. That's
okay.
It.
Okay. Comics, June 7th, Civil War Frontline. That's the news type one.
Yeah.
Let
me explain that real fast. Okay. It's an interesting take on the Civil War. For those of you that don't know and that aren't nerds, Civil War is the big battle between the superheroes in the Marvel Universe. What they're doing for a miniseries of 10 issues is they're showing, like, war reporters behind the scenes following the battle, and they're doing it from two different newspapers. So one will be the Daily Bugle, another one will be another local
Planet.
Paper.
Are they like embedded? Or?
Yeah, it's going to be like an embedded sort of Weird. Thing. So it's going to be kind of interesting, I think.
Yeah.
That's for all the people that want us to cover the Civil War out there.
There you go.
And
we weren't
also,
around for the real Civil War, so we get to cover the comic version.
The relaunch of Cyberforce. So Cyberforce issue 0, which I mentioned earlier, it's a kid born with forearms.
They're actually they're being born to fight crime.
Yes.
Isn't that Goro?
They're
Mortal
actually breeding.
Yes.
They're breeding.
they're
breeding heroes in China.
And does that wrap things up on coming soon, Adam?
Nothing else is coming in the next two
weeks.
That's it.
That's all the stuff that you need to know.
Yes.
So let's close this edition of Under the Scope.
Under the Scope.
And we'll move into Jared's favorite part of the show, our viewer mail.
Viewer mail. I've got a couple.
Listener mail, even. Better.
I don't feel like correcting you today. I just want to get done.
I say that every time.
I got a couple of comments today, a couple of quick ones. Aaron says, not my sister Aaron, someone else named Aaron. The scope equals not too shaggy. I think you meant shabby.
They're next
you said
to each
shaggy.
Other, whatever.
You guys are good. I like your math, Aaron, regardless of your spelling. Shane, don't be daft. Watch Veronica Mars. It is the best show on television. Season 1 is already available on DVD, and Season 2 comes out on August 22nd.
Now that guy produced a show
you
or
own
you
Season
have
1 on DVD
plenty
already?
Of time before the September's premiere to watch it.
I do own it.
Okay.
I do not know what daft means, because I'm all American.
So is Aaron, but
probably something about my privates.
Yeah. That would be a draft.
But
there's
yes,
not much going on.
Yes, Aaron, this so-called Aaron... I've talked to my wife about this, and we are going to try to start watching Veronica Mars soon.
Great.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Message 2 comes from Ryan. He simply says, Contra Secret Codes!
Good.
That's all I got.
Thanks.
That's it for the listener mail.
That's it.
Once again, you have all let us down. We need more comments.
Yeah. We love comments, and Earl and Al, get your friends.
I'm on it.
Get the people to be mailing us. I did! No. They've got
you
to
put
be
one
more,
sentence.
Earl. You're the master.
And live journal doesn't count because we've got that covered.
No, get your friends to listen. Get your friends to
I
write
did.
In. Did they?
I don't know. I can't put a gun to their heads.
Yes,
why
can.
Can't you? Master of persuasion.
All right, I'll do
this
it.
Is America where you can put guns to people's heads. Thank you.
We
no,
have
that's
that
China.
Liberty.
That's China.
Yes. And they can do it more efficiently because they
frying
have three
pans.
Arms.
You can put firing pans to people's heads.
I'm confused. Did the kid have three arms or four arms?
He's got three.
Earl's back to the
arms. He's got two left arms.
Enough with the puns, Earl. Forearms.
Oh! All right, 12.
My forehead's above my eyebrow.
That's all we have for this crazy, wacky listener mail. I think goodness. I need to take a little time to thank some people. Oh, first, before I thank people,
do whatever you want. Do whatever you want.
I'm going to break format. Jared,
that's fine.
How can our listeners get in contact with us? How about that?
Fire up your favorite email client and send us a message at comments@thescopeshow.com. If that's too much work for you, then head over to the website at thescopeshow.com. We're also listed in a couple places, as we've mentioned in the past, podcastalley.com. You can head over there and vote for us. It's a new month, so get your votes in, and maybe we won't be the least voted for podcast in the world.
Last month.
We're also listed in iTunes, the iTunes Music Store now. So
new development.
Go into iTunes, search for The Scope, resubscribe, we'll get some clicks. There's also a place in there you can review the show and let everyone know how much you love
Please
it.
Please review it.
Also, store does not imply it costs money.
It does not cost money. It's free. It just integrates with the iTunes client, which is fairly efficient way of listening to podcasts.
And we will make note of that on our website, www.thescopeshow.com.
Yes.
And you can click to it from there.
Yes.
Correct, Jared?
Yes, exactly. I should also mention that this week's Scope Sounds was from H's Between Vowels. They're at myspace.com/HS Between Vowels.
Laugh.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Jared.
You're welcome.
Now I'm going to thank some people. As I've said before, we can't do this
You're
show.
You're welcome, Shane.
Adam, I wasn't going to thank you. We can't do the show without our fantastic announcer, Tony. You hear him starting the show up. He does all the little bits in between. He's a true professional, and we plan on having him in the studio soon. So,
who's that guy upstairs?
Say it again, Earl.
Who's that guy upstairs? He told me his name was Tony.
He's just the man robbing me. I'll deal with him later.
There'd be nothing upstairs. I would be remiss if I did not thank our two guests. They made it quite a show. Earl, thank you very much.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Your underdog shirt. Right in my day.
Thank you.
I'm sure we'll have you back more, and under the stipulation that you and I fight more.
I try, but you're too passive.
Wow.
And I'd also like to thank my good friend Al. Al, thank you for being here.
Sorry, I cannot keep up Earl's enthusiasm.
No, you're a little quiet, but you've had some good zingers today. Some good
He's
stuff.
He's quiet,
so.
But he hit with a punch when he came on, man.
Wow.
I love it.
He's solid. Yo, give me some love.
Oh, I forgot to ask you, Earl, Al, you guys have any appearances you want to plug? Anywhere you're going to be in the next 2 weeks?
Are you guys hosting trivia anywhere?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Why don't you go, Al, because you have much more exciting life.
You'd be working on the galleys.
I got to think of something to make up here.
Well, usually, Earl, you don't think before you say something, so then I can have time to think.
Surprisingly, I do. I'm very calculated in my method here.
Al, any plugs, please?
Any plugs?
Hour 7 just
listen next episode for I'd Buy That for a Dollar.
Yes.
Oh, there you go.
That's
true.
There you go. Al's going to be in studio doing some work for us, and you expect to hear his voice soon. Earl?
I'll be appearing at a barbecue tonight, having some food.
Fantastic.
And I'm sure
veggie burgers.
And, I got stuff going on this week that I can't talk about right here. And
well, great. That's good radio.
Pimping ain't easy, but somebody's got to do it.
Yeah, pimping. I'll be at some convention, I'm sure, in a couple months. And
Adam, your appearances.
Hopefully, back on the Scope next
week. I say, Adam, your appearances.
I've got kickball. Kickball on Monday.
Kickball.
And I will be appearing all week on the Alaria server on World of Warcraft.
Fantastic. Wow. And Jared, finally.
I will be making a stop at the Maytag laundromat down the street to wash a comforter and possibly Cub Foods tomorrow evening. If anyone wants to stop by and help me pick out yogurt flavors.
And
Twix
yogurt.
The most important part, my appearances. It's my birthday this week, as well as my wife's. So we will be...
You can talk over it. That's okay. People of mine.
We will be hanging out at the local Dairy Queen, waiting for some of their delicious ice cream cakes to expire and hopefully get one free for our birthday. So that being said, for all of us here at The Scope, thank you for listening. You know it was long, but I think it was a good one. We'll be back in 2 weeks with more deliciously nerdy fun. Arrivederci.
Carroll.
I think it's Steve Carell.
Well, it's Steve Carroll to me. I don't give a hell. I don't give a damn how he pronounces his name.